Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We are taking your thoughts on Pekka, obviously, with the jersey retirement ceremony coming up tonight. Your favorite Pekka memory. Hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also discussing Philip Forsberg. A report last night from Andy Strickland that the Predators are, he said that he was hearing the Predators are, quote, actively shopping Philip Forsberg. Now, as I said earlier on the show, I can tell you that according to a source of mine, I have been told that Forsberg has not told the Predators that he doesn't want to stay as a Predator. Now, again, I need to clarify, that does not mean that he's going to sign here. That does not mean that he's not going to be traded at some point. I have just been told that Philip Forsberg has never told the Predators that he does not want to stay as a Predator. So I think that's important because, to me, I saw this report last night, Joe, if they're actively shopping him, my initial reaction to that was, okay, well, does that mean that he's told them that he wants out, or are they just so far apart on contract negotiations that either pressure is trying to be applied or the Predators have just said, you know what, this is not going to happen. We're going to have to find a way to get what we can for him. So, again, I'm not saying that Forsberg is going to sign here or anything. I've just been told that he has not told the Predators that he does not want to remain here, which I think is very important to put out there.
Yes. Yes. Very important because that's, I mean, had he done that, what were he to do that? Then, well, then Poile has to act like this, has to react like this and shop him around and see what he can do, see what he can get. So it seems that the far apart, in whatever way they're far apart, scenario is the most likely right now.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Adam from Portland who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, so my favorite Pekka moment was that 2017 Blackhawks series. And I remember heading into those playoffs, his position with the team changed tremendously during that series and that playoff run, because I know he was on hot water. How long will they keep him in there if the Blackhawks start killing him? If you'll remember, he didn't give up a goal the first two games on the road that series against a one seed. So my favorite goal was during that series, goal that he stopped. He was way far out of the net, probably, I don't know, 10 yards away, and it was a funky bounce. The puck ends up hit. Do y'all remember this? The puck ends up like center of the ice. It's heading straight like a beeline rocket heading towards the net. And he lunges out off 6'6" and a stick and gets a tip of the stick on the puck and redirects like at the very end. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. So, and just, you know, that's professionally. He's just a great person, man, right? Everybody, I don't think he's ever made an enemy in his life. So having him here, he's, you know, no fan has ever done it better. So happy for him tonight for sure.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. Yeah, that happened a few times where Pekka is going to, you know, we always talk about it. He's so good at playing the puck behind the net. You know, sometimes that puck takes a hop on you and you got to be able to react quickly. And that was certainly a good example of that. I remember that one very well.
Yeah, I think it was game three. I think so. Yep. Yeah, it was game three. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing, you know, those first two games in Chicago. I don't think there's a song. Well, I mean, this is a bold statement, but there aren't many songs I hate more than Chelsea Dagger, right? I mean, it's actually a great song to play when you score a goal because it's such an awful song that it's just going to bother your opponents even more. I was bracing myself to have to hear that song, you know, a few times over two games in Chicago. Not one time. Not a single time.
Go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Carrie in Nashville wants to weigh in. Carrie, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Well, that guy stole my thunder. Imagine that. I think that was in actually game one. And yeah, it caught Pekka completely off guard. And it hit that stanchion on the glass. And for him to even get back and save that puck was probably one of the most amazing plays I've ever seen him do, except the butt of the stick save.
Oh, yeah. That was a great one. Thank you, Kerry. We appreciate the call. The butt of the stick save in the Winnipeg series where he's falling down and he just plants the stick on the ice and it hits the handle, the knob. That was some good stuff.
Yes. Yes, the knob save, the butt save, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That was game. It was definitely not game one. Game one and games one and two were in Chicago. That was definitely in this building. Three. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it was game one in the building. It was game one at Bridgestone. Does that count?
Yes, game one of way more games in this building in that playoff run than anybody would have guessed would have happened.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on Pekka Rinne all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So with the Forsberg report that's out there, Joe, do you feel like the Predators are at a little bit of a crossroads here? Because let's say they go down this road and they're not able to come to a deal with Forsberg and they feel like they've just got to trade him at the trade deadline and get what they can for him. I think you understand the thought process behind that if you're the Predators. My question for you is, what does that do to this team this year? And what does that do to the way maybe you impact the core and the trajectory of the team as they move forward here? Obviously, not knowing what the return would exactly be for Forsberg at this point in time.
Well, I mean, this team this year, it's tough for me to see this team have enough offense to threaten anyone in a playoff series. I mean, certainly depending on where they are, like if they were roughly where they are now and you traded him and now you basically have a month, about 5 weeks left. Are you holding on to a playoff spot? I think possibly, and certainly you could, but I guess that team would be limping in and not be all that dangerous in the playoffs. So you are in the short term absolutely getting worse, obviously. I'm open to hearing what kinds of things you could get for Philip Forsberg. I mean, who out there would be? Is there a team that comes to mind for you that would especially feel like he as a rental could put them over the top? What of the top contenders, who could most benefit from a Philip Forsberg?
Well, the team that came to mind to me immediately was the Rangers. And I think it makes sense from their standpoint. I think it really makes sense if you're going to go that route. I think it makes sense for the Predators standpoint too, is because their pipeline is pretty darn good. So if you're talking prospects in return, the Rangers could be there. Boston. I think Boston could use a guy like Forsberg. The problem is,
they love former Preds.
They love former Preds. There's no question about that. That's the other thing. Like, you're in a playoff spot right now. If you're the Predators, if you feel like you have to trade him, are you trading him to a Western Conference team? Like, are you limiting your trade market that way? I don't know. Like, are you trading him to? I'm not saying this would happen, but hypothetically, like Edmonton right now is 3 points behind you. Let's say for whatever reason, they want to make a big push for Philip Forsberg and they offer you whatever that you feel like is really good. Like, are you trading Forsberg to Edmonton when they're right behind you in the playoff race?
Well, if they have easily the best offer, 100%. Yes. If what they're offering is what you believe is going to help you retool and then over time be better for it, and no one else is offering the same level as I think you have to. I don't think you limit yourself like that. You'd much prefer not to have him in your division and have to see him all the time, but I think you gotta have an open mind, and even if it costs you and all of a sudden they take off and they take your playoff spot, you're trading him because you are now thinking long-term over short-term. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You may be forced into doing that, but that's what you're doing.
Kyle on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says LA has a bunch of good prospects and an old friend as well.
That's maybe right.
Forsberg-Arvidsson reunion in LA.
There you go. Thought he might tweet a thumbs up to that.
Well, maybe so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Philip Forsberg on our text line. Got more to get to coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later at 8:45. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Our text line is about to blow up because of that. That's for sure.
Man, Michelle trolling everybody.
Joe, you know when you say...
I prefer the Fleetwood Mac that you're on.
You know when you say you hate a song, you know I have to play it. Last yeah. segment, you're like, oh, fair. This song is the worst. So
do
naturally,
you not agree, though? Do you not agree?
I mean, I didn't realize it was the Blackhawks. What do you say? It's their song whenever they score something at home.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, you know, being a hockey player. The other team scores, and then you got to hear da 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 da. I mean,
listen, I would hate it. I would hate it too.
Grating on the nerves.
Believe me, that would grind my gears. But if I'm just a normal person. I feel like it would get me a little hype, a little excited, but I understand if you're covering a game and you're there and you hear it a lot. But
I will say, I've talked to many of the opposing player around the NHL that cannot stand the Tim McGraw song, which I think it's kind of what you're going for.
Oh, sure. Yes.
If you're a team.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, if you're in this building tonight, you know, Dallas gets scored on. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Of course you hate that. It's ripping at your soul when you hear those words.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Scott in Hopkinsville, Texas. And by the way, we're going to be joined by Preds assistant coach Dan Hinote coming up at 7:30. So looking forward to that conversation. Going back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Scott in Hopkinsville texting in. Good morning, guys. And Michelle, could this potentially be leaked by Forsberg's agent? Would there be any benefit from him doing this? This is coming from Scott in Hopkinsville. I've heard that thrown out there. I guess if it's true that they're shopping him around, it could be coming from Forsberg's agent. But again, if they're still working on a deal, I don't know why they would be actively shopping Philip Forsberg at this point. To be again, and maybe I'm just reading way too much into the term actively shopping. But to me, that's a big deal. Like actively shopping to me is like, all right, we're getting ready to trade him. Let's see what you got. Let's see what your best offers are. I've heard like, could there's this on Twitter last night too. Like, could Forsberg's representative be making this up and getting this narrative out there? Really not a good practice as an agent to lie to the public. Really not a great way to go about doing stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, like, from a reporting aspect, if you're the reporter on this and it's the agent of the player involved in the negotiations, like, where is he getting his information from? Because, you know, otherwise, right. it's like, then that's immediately what you're going to think. Are you just trying to put this out there? I mean, to me, actively shopping means some team had a conversation that made them think the Preds are actively shopping it. And that's not a conversation that Forsberg's agent should be privy to. So anything's possible. You know, this is the problem with anonymous sources, but that just doesn't really make sense to me.
There's a lot of people coming after Michelle on the text line about playing.
Yes, they are mad at you, Michelle.
Wait, really? Oh gosh.
Oh yeah. No more DJ duties for Michelle, says Randy. Kyle just said Michelle just committed a hate crime against Preds fans. # boycott Michelle.
Okay, in my defense, I didn't actually know it was a Blackhawks thing. Just thought Joe hated it.
I just said that.
Okay. Maybe I did know. Preds fans, don't worry.
Fleetwood Mac.
Listen, don't worry. We are going off track of Fleetwood Mac a little bit next break, but I promise you will like it, and then we'll bring it back around town to Fleetwood Mac. Okay?
Greg texting in says, Michelle, by playing Chelsea Dagger, you have forfeited your right to have Joe wash your car. This is coming from Greg on the text line.
Greg, you can wash my car if you want.
Someone's got to do it.
It's got to be done. Steven texting in says, Do you think Forsberg could see how Pekka is being honored and be more likely to make a deal in hopes of a similar storybook end to his career? He could follow the Weber path and still be loved in Nashville, but it's hard to beat the Pekka Rinne story. This is coming from Steven in Nashville.
Mm. I mean,
do I think that in a perfect world, players, especially if they like the situation, would like to play for their whole, for one team their whole career? Yeah, probably. I think there are probably things on Forsberg's checklist that are way more important than that. Number one, where can you win? Do you feel like you can win a championship here? What's the money look like? What's the length of the deal look like? Like, to me, all of those things are more important than that aspect of it.
Yeah, look, you got a short window here as a professional athlete to make as much money as you can make, set up your kids and your grandkids, and I don't know how you could blame anyone for thinking about that first. I do think that there's appeal to that, certainly. And I think going back to earlier discussion about guys who have signed what I have thought a few of them are quite team-friendly deals here. I think part of that is liking the organization, liking the city, liking each other. And certainly, like, Roman Josi is going to watch this tonight and probably at some point in his mind be like, that's going to be me someday, because it probably will be. Now, Philip Forsberg is a guy who, if he signs a long-term deal with the Preds, number nine could be hanging up there someday too. But yeah, there's that's not top of list, and I wouldn't expect it to be for anyone.
I got a texture that says, send Forsberg to Calgary for Johnny Hockey. Send Forsberg to Calgary for Johnny Hockey. Well, the problem with that is, I mean, you'd be in the same situation you're in right now. Like, Johnny Gaudreau, his contract's up. So, like, you're not swapping rental player for rental player with Philip Forsberg. It's just not happening.
Yeah. I understand all the comments on, like, hey, do this comparable player, but that's just not what this is going to be. It's going to be prospects and picks.
Yeah, and you're building for the future if you're trading him. I mean, it's – and we got a whole lot of people saying the Forsberg being shot tweet was from a Blues reporter. Again, I understand it was from a Blues reporter. Andy Strickland's been doing this for a long time. And, you know, I'm not saying that he's been right on everything he's ever said. I will say he has reported things that his credibility is fine. He has good credibility. So, again, I'm not saying that Forsberg is going to be traded. I'm not saying – anything. I'm just saying that if you're just totally dismissing this out of hand because it's from a quote Blues reporter, I would advise against that.
Yeah, there's a track record here. There's credibility here that this goes beyond. It's not like he's just for the first time ever stepping outside of the Blues universe and talking about something else. So you gotta look at the track record.
Paul on the text line says, I think it's BS. It was broken by a Blues ringside reporter, and then a Preds guy commented on it to say it would be huge news to Forsberg's camp because they had just started negotiating. First off, I don't think they've just started negotiating. Like, this has been a process of, I think, at least a little while here where the Predators and Philip Forsberg's agency have been talking. So I don't think they just started, like, yesterday talking about a contract.
Well, what's that reference to? Am I missing something?
I don't know what that's a reference to.
Okay. Let us know. I mean, look, there's going to be, like, trust me, there's going to be more on this today. Of that, you can be assured. And also, the Preds, as an organization, are going to be very annoyed. Of that, you can also be assured, too, because this is Pecorino Day. But that's how things go in pro sports.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I don't necessarily want to be sitting here talking about Forsberg all day long on Pecorino Day. But when there's a report out there that somebody is being actively shopped, like, we got to talk about it. Like, that's pretty big deal to the future of this franchise. Like, it really is. Like, think about, like, if they make that decision and Forsberg gets traded, you're talking about a completely different direction for the franchise. I mean, we've talked about how this team has exceeded expectations and how maybe the window to win is bigger than we thought or shorter than we thought. And, you know, the rebuild or competitive transition or whatever you want to call it, maybe it's not a full rebuild. You lose Forsberg, I think a lot of that changes. So, is a pretty big deal when it comes to Philip Forsberg. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators, taking more of your thoughts on our text line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, 615-737-7777. 1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote. We'll get to that conversation coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A big night tonight coming up at Bridgestone Arena. And to help us talk more about it, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds assistant coach Dan Hynote. Dan, what's going on? How are we doing?
Oh, good morning, guys. Just getting ready for the big game tonight. How are you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Dan, what do you think the atmosphere is going to be like tonight? Obviously, you've been around Pecorine. You know how important he is to this city and to this franchise. What's tonight going to be like for you and your team, do you think?
Well, there's just so much history and nostalgia, with anything Pekka. And, you know, add on top of that any home game in Nashville, and then add on top of that our rivalry with Dallas. So, I mean, you got a lot of things that lead to somewhat of a jungle atmosphere here in the rink tonight.
Dan, how important – I mean, look, every game's important, playing against a good team on the road is important, but you guys have lost four in a row. You knew as a coaching staff that this week is just going to be unlike any other week this season. I mean, it's just how it is. So much around the hockey, apart from the hockey. So how important in your mind was it to have that victory, to come back, win in the toughest building, to win in this league the other night, to end the losing streak and kind of be back on the positive going into all this stuff?
Oh, it was massive, you know, and we knew it, but, you know, the way our schedule is shaped up, you know, you could play a great game against these teams we've been playing and still lose. You know, that upper echelon of the league is both teams playing their best hockey. It's going to be a 50-50 outcome. So, you know, we knew that going into February, and, you know, you miss a bounce here and there, all of a sudden you lose four in a row. And so that game against Florida was, A, we want to get back on track, but B, you know, this week is a circus, right? You got so many distractions away from the game that you want to have your game in order before these games come about, because there's just so much going on that you have to rely on your systematic play, you know, and you hope that the distractions don't become bigger than the game itself. So that game against Florida became huge for us, especially the way we did it, you know, as far as building the archives of, guys, we can come back in any situation, in any barn, against any team. And, you know, when you have comeback wins like that, those become important come playoffs, when you're down by two in the second and you're like, guys, remember when. And so it was huge on a lot of fronts.
Well, Dan, to that point, I mean, you know this, obviously, being a player in the league, like, you know, you say every game's important, and they are, and 2 points count the same in every game. But sometimes it feels like, from our standpoint, you know, some wins are bigger than others. Like, could the way that your team won that game, could that be something that maybe propels you forward here when it comes to the rest of this week, and then just an absolutely brutal schedule from a, you know, just a physical back-to-back standpoint coming up in March and April?
Yeah, and that's like you said, you know, you have to gain whatever it is you gain from each win. And so when you win like that, and our game has been trending in a good direction, like I said, we weren't getting the results for whatever reason, but, you know, the metrics that we follow have been in the positive. And, you know, coach talks about all the time about, you know, regardless of the outcome, we have to solidify, you know, a certain game that allows us to win night in and night out without having to worry about our structure. And you know, then it comes down to bounces. And, you know, if you hit a post and it goes in and hit a post and it goes out, those things happen. But our game has been trending in the right direction as far as what we want and what we follow metrically. So it was great that it's been going that way, because you can tell until you're blue in the face, guys, we're playing the right way. But until you get the win, you know, it is what it is. So the game had been trending that way, and then we get the win. So it's perfect going into tonight's game.
Yeah, and John Hines mentioned to us last week, Dan, that you know that it was very possible for David Riddick to get one of the two games on that quick road trip, with the idea in mind that yeah, even though there's plenty of space here right now in between games, so UC Soros is getting the physical rest, maybe that with what's ahead this week for him, but also what's ahead next month, that a break might be beneficial. And obviously, it worked out great for you guys. What was the discussion around that, and how helpful do you think that could be to Soros now as he gets back between the pipes?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, he'd been, at this point, I think, played the most games out of any NHL goalie, or at least tied for. So, you know, he's been carrying the mail, and Ritzy's been working his butt off in practice every day, and the guys love him. You know, so you pull for him in that regard, and the guys love playing in front of him. So, you know, you need juice to be rested going into these last 2 months, and also you want to give Ritzy a game because he earned it with his work ethic and his demeanor around the rink and so on. So Florida ended up being the perfect game for both.
Fred's assistant coach Dan Hinote on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Dan, you mentioned it, obviously some important games this week, and you know it's a huge game by itself tonight against Dallas. But there is a lot of distractions this week with Pecorine and the Stadium Series game and people's families coming into town. From a coaching standpoint, how do you try to navigate those waters? How do you go about approaching that with your team?
You make it known that you know, in this situation, again, the game, at the end of the day, the game is the most important part. But you also have to, you know, do all the bells and whistles of, you know, Pekka and what he's provided this organization and this city and his teammates that are still here. You know, there's no measuring stick on that value. So you have to give it its due. And everyone's excited, including the coaching staff, to see Pekka because he's an unreal human being. So, you know, so it's kind of said, but it doesn't need to be said all that much that, you know, guys, at the end of the day, this is a 4-point game against a rival, you know, but if you can use Pekka as a springboard into momentum and you know, you're going to have a sellout crowd, you're going to want to play for this guy that, you know, stopped pucks for you for however many years and get your teammates back because it's his night. So that's kind of the key. It's like, well, it is a distraction, but it also can be used as momentum. And, you know, you get the crowd, you get Pekka in the building. Like, guys have taken bullets for that guy for years. So tonight will be no different.
We talking about a Newt Rockne speech from Pekka before the game there, Dan? And apart from that, do you have anything you can tell us about this program tonight? Because I'm very interested to see it. It sounds like it's going to be quite a show.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I just know all the alumni or the alumni that are in town, and obviously you see all the bells and whistles around the rink. You know, as far, I'm a little out of the loop when it comes to the program itself, but aside from, you know, Pekka being around the boys this morning and last night and obviously tonight as well, and the effect I know that'll have. He never needed the Newt Rockne speech. You know, it was more about his presence and his smile and his calm demeanor of, hey guys, everything's going to be okay, because I'm in the pipes. You know, that was more his style, but he certainly has the intelligence and the wherewithal to put one together. It just was never needed, I don't think.
Dan, you mentioned the game against your rival tonight. Obviously, I mean, you guys are very familiar with what the Stars and what they bring to the table. The standings are what they are. This is a really important game tonight. You know, what do you expect in this matchup against the Stars? And I guess, how do you prepare your team for what you know is going to be a pretty physical game tonight?
Well, you don't – I mean, that we have so much history with these guys. There's not a lot of preparation you have to make them aware of other than, you know, they know that this team flies. They're really good in the ozone. They're one of the fastest teams in the game. Our games against them are always physical, and there's always a war. You know, so obviously owning zone one will be the most important thing, and then, you know, not giving them free chances with our structural game, because they'll take advantage of any turnovers just inside the blue. Any poor decision making with the puck can lead to an odd man rush the other way with a team as fast as Dallas. So protecting the puck, you know, with our puck decisions and then getting over the puck in the ozone kind of stifles their rush game. And the more you can do that, the better chance you'll have to win.
Do you feel, Dan, like, you know, the balance is there a little bit better in terms of, you know, playing the game you guys want to play, but then also just trying to not go in the box quite as often?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guys have made a concerted effort with their sticks. You know, you're still going to take penalties, you know, throughout the game. The way we play is just going to happen. But the guys have done a good job, you know, being aware of it. And that's really the growth that you need is it needs to become a factor in your mind first. And then it's got to be actionable. So, you know, we've seen tons of scenarios in the last few games where the guys may have put a stick in there earlier and now they're not. So there's growth there, which is great because, you know, the power plays we've been facing are extremely dangerous and Dallas is no different. So, you know, it's like you said, it's the balance of trying to find that physical game where that war mentality without taking all the penalties. And I think we've done a good job of that lately.
Reds assistant coach Dan Hynote has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex. So Dan, really appreciate you taking time to join us. Good luck and have fun this week. Going to be a pretty awesome week here in Nashville.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. You as well. Dan Hynote, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. It is interesting. It was interesting to hear him kind of say that. Like, yeah, you could view it as a distraction tonight. You could also use it. And we've talked about that this week, too. I would expect the Predators tonight to have a lot of energy coming out of the gate. And then it's what you talked about. Like, you've got to find a way to have the proper balance of using the energy and making sure that you're not sending people into the third row and taking a trip to the penalty box.
Yeah, like early on, you know, that's where, because yeah, I'm sure, like, you know, you're going to be jacked up to play this team given the situation, given the rivalry. But coming off the hour preceding the game, I got to think that emotions will be even a little bit higher than normal. Good can be used, can be positive, but also could be, you know, could be harmful if you go too far.
Coming up next, it is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN
1025, The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
Yeah, I hope you guys have some light items because I'm going into world affairs and politics today. So,
oh, good.
I'm sure that will be received well. But let's go ahead and go right into it then. What the heck? For my best, I'm actually, with this today, I don't try to always do themes, but it seems like it works out this way. I'm talking about two women in journalism today. So my best in sports is our friend, Isabel Krishoutian, former hockey reporter,
yep.
Did a great job covering the Washington Capitals. I got to know her way back in the day when she covered John Glennon's UVA Wahoos. Isabel, a few years ago, decided to get out of sports. She got an opportunity to work at, the Moscow Bureau initially for the Washington Post.
Yep.
She speaks fluent Russian. And I'm just, one, I'm worried for her. I'm proud of her. She is doing really important reporting right on the front lines right now for the Washington Post and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Dangerous. It's important. It's why journalism matters. So just very proud of her. Shout out to Isabel, thinking of her, and follow her on Twitter. They had a really amazing in-depth report that she, I think, has pinned to her profile, and she's giving real-time updates. I mean, she's right there in the middle of it. So that she's my best in sports as a former sports reporter going on to more important things.
Nice.
My worst in sports, Michelle Tafoya. And I waited on this because I wanted to hear things out and I wanted to see full comments and not just, you know, little snippets on Twitter. And so a week ago, I thought about doing it, but like, you know what? I don't want to just jump all over this. That's what everybody does. So let me say first and foremost, like when Tafoya announced she, and I don't know Michelle Tafoya, but when she announced she was leaving to do work in the Republican Party, didn't bat an eye, couldn't care less. Great. Republican Party, Democrat, Green, Libertarian, do whatever you want. It doesn't. That's fine. But the comments she's made on Colin Kaepernick have bothered me a lot. I think more than anything, the comment, you know, that she said that, and this is a snippet, but it's what she said in proper context. It, quote, "It breaks my heart that kids are being taught skin color matters." And when I hear that, it makes me wonder if in all of those years as a sideline reporter, talking to more black men than anything, if she ever had a real conversation with anyone. Again, you can have different views, but it honestly breaks my heart that this is what she comes away with after all these years of covering the NFL. And, you know, the hotly debated critical race theory thing, not going to get into that here, but I will say I would love for her and for everyone to read a piece at MississippiToday.org about Brittany Murphy, an Ole Miss law student, former president of the Teenage Republicans of Mississippi, who took a class in critical race theory with much protest from her family and friends and came away saying, oh, actually, there's a lot of value in this because we should really be learning about history. It's not about making white people feel bad. It's about actually learning about history and race theory, which is important in this world. We can't whitewash everything. And I'll get off my soapbox now.
Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Can I just say for a second, you said Michelle for your worst in sports, and my head perked up so quick before you said her last name, and I was like, oh no, Joe, where are you going with this?
Michelle Knezvik playing Chelsea Dagger,
worst the worst in thing sports. In sports.
Okay, so I'm going to start with my worst thing in sports. Juwan Howard, the whole handshake line this week and the fight between Wisconsin and Michigan, just as a coach, just you're supposed to be a leader for these young men, and it's never a good look getting physical on the court. And also, I mean, as far as his basketball team, they're looking to get a couple more wins so that they can get into the tournament. They're one of those teams that is not locked in for the NCAA tournament right now, and with him out for the rest of the regular season, and it's just not a good look. It's drama that is surrounding the team now, and who knows if they'll make the tournament. But above all else, just not a good example you want to set for these young men coming up in your program. Moving on to my best thing in sports, because you know I am always a glass half full type of person, guys, and I get off the worst as quick as possible. So heading into my best thing in sports, it is Kentucky basketball related, but Oscar Tshiebwe obviously is one of the front runners for National Player of the Year. And I would tell you guys to go over to Kyle Tucker's article that he wrote on The Athletic, because this is where I got my best thing in sports from. Oscar Tshiebwe has actually not been able to earn NIL money since just this week, because he was having trouble with his student visa. On a student visa, you can't technically have a job. So they've been working really hard to figure out, you know, how he can earn money. And obviously he's the front runner for the National Player of the Year, so there's a lot of money to be earned. But the article really goes into depth about where Oscar came from. He came from the Congo, and how he's actually, with this NIL money, is going to be able to bring his mom over to America. And she's never been able to see a college basketball game of his. So for him, it was so much more than just getting money or getting a flashy car or something. He's going to be able to get her out of the Congo, where she hasn't been living in great living situations, bring her over to America, and she's actually going to get to see him play a basketball game. So for everybody who thinks NIL is not good for players, some of this gets hidden in people getting flashy cars and amazing deals. But for him, it's actually, you know, being able to get his mom out of somewhere probably unsafe and bringing her to America. So I thought that was pretty awesome. Go over to Kyle Tucker's Twitter to read the full article on The Athletic. It's pretty awesome.
Shout out, Kyle. Awesome story.
That was. Good job by Kyle Tucker on that story. My best thing in sports, I mean, I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit. It's Pecorine getting his jersey retired tonight. Just the circumstance that goes around it. And I watched pretty much every game of his career. It was awesome to watch his time here in Nashville. I think it's going to be a wonderful night here in Nashville, even separate from the game. I think the Predators are going to play well tonight. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later. But just even separate from the game, the spectacle of it all, you know, just kind of taking in the moment and recognizing Pecorine tonight, I think is important. You know, I think him being the first guy to get this done is awesome, and to being, you know, retiring his jersey. I know people have talked about, like, all right, well, what about, you know, David Legwand, or what about Philip Forsberg one day, or what about all these different people? you know, I think one of the cool things about getting your jersey retired is it should be really exclusive company. And I think Pecorine has earned every bit of it. I will add as a sidebar to that, it's really cool to me to see Shea Weber here this week. We talked about it a little bit earlier. You know, obviously things didn't end great here with Shea Weber, with him getting traded for PK Subban. You know, Shea basically was largely responsible with Pekka for dragging this team through kind of some rough times to get them to the point where they were competitive. And obviously his last game as a Predator did not go well. The Predators moved on. Obviously it was the right decision. They got to the Stanley Cup final the next year. So I'm not trying to go back down the rabbit hole of revisiting the trade. I think sometimes people overlook how important he was to this franchise. I would put him right there with Pekka in terms of his importance to the franchise during that time. Now, obviously, Pekka went on to become the best player in franchise history and had more staying power and more long-term. But at their peak together, they were equally important to me in terms of bringing this team to what we know them as today. So really cool to see Shea Weber here this week, and obviously a shame that we can't see him playing hockey this year. The worst thing in sports is my quarterback being a troll on the Pat McAfee show. Got my
yes, Robbie.
Thought something was going to happen. Thought there was going to be a decision made one way or the other. And Aaron Rodgers got on there basically to talk about the cleanse that he's been on, which we've since come to know just a great amount of detail about. So Aaron Rodgers, you know, I love me some Aaron Rodgers. Hope he's still the quarterback of Green Bay. But being a troll, a little bit ridiculous, a little bit much. Aaron Rodgers, my worst thing in sports this week.
Proud of you for taking it to Aaron Rodgers.
And we're all going to do the cleanse.
He deserves it.
And we're all going to do the cleanse. Summer's coming,
yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. Really got to get on that cleanse. Bring me the Pancha Karma cleanse. Be great. Chris on the text line says, the best thing in sports was one of the Predators games last weekend, listening to the great Pete Weber when he called an elbowing penalty on the Preds and described it as, quote, the old Spanish airline elbowing. It made me laugh. And after that, I thought about it for a second. Pete is great. The amount of things that Pete Weber can do in a broadcast, like in the moment, without really even having to think about it, is really just incredible to me. And honestly, knowing Pete the way that I do, there are many things that he says in a broadcast that people just have no idea about, which makes it even funnier because I do know what he's talking about. And Pete Weber is the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
No doubt. Of course, he also sometimes will just make a reference to someone. Like, you know, a lot of times we'll make a reference to like an 80s movie, look at Michelle. You know,
yeah,
like I'll Pete, never know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and Pete will make references like someone from the 60s, and I'm like, yeah, Pete, right, I got
you. Oh, yeah, lots of Slapshot references in there, too.
Well, now those I'm all over.
Oh, yeah,
trying to capture the spirit of the thing, Michelle. Yes. Put that one on your list, too. Slapshot,
that's right. See, you didn't even ask me if I'd seen it, you're just like, put it on the list because you're obviously right. You're obviously right.
I mean, 70s stuff, I'm just gonna assume no.
Yeah, I was not even, alive at all.
I mean, I've watched Citizen Kane, and it came out 40 years before I was born. But, yes, I hear you.
That is good stuff. I've watched Citizen Kane, too. We watched that in my high school class one time.
There you go.
I can't say it was great, but it was all right.
Hey, cool. Real quick, Paul on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, playing that song, which is what Michelle played before the High Note interview, does not absolve Michelle of her Blackhawks sin. So I just want you to know that. It was a good try, though.
Listen, in my defense, I thought it was, Joe, you cover the games and you're always there. I didn't know it was like a legit thing that everyone knows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Preds fans know. Well, they know. Anybody who hates the Blackhawks knows that song well.
I'm sorry.
This has been the best and worst things in sports. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. We'll get his thoughts on all sorts of Middle Tennessee sports in the area. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.